The Sudanese military has admitted to killing a group of protesters camped outside the army headquarters in Khartoum earlier this month. More than 100 people reportedly died. The protesters have been calling on the military to transition to a civilian-led democracy after the authoritarian president, Omar al-Bashir, was arrested in April. Suleiman Baldo is a senior advisor at the Enough Project. It's a U.S.-based nonprofit working to end violence in Africa. He is Sudanese, and he joins us now from Nairobi, Kenya. Suleiman, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you for having me.
So the military is now saying that commanders came up with a plan to disperse the protesters from the camp where they'd been staying, and that the military council regrets that some mistakes happened. That was a quote there. Are you satisfied with that admission?
Not at all. It was a combined force of several thousands of Sudan's National Army, Rapid Support Forces. These are reconverted Janjaweed militia from the genocide in Darfur, police and national intelligence services, all descended on this camp at 5 in the morning where protesters were sleeping, opened fire for a continuous 1 hour. This is not a small mistake. This is a deliberate killing. And that was accompanied also by atrocities such as systematic rapes of young ladies and women who were on site, including doctors who were treating the wounded, and also the disappearing of several hundred of those killed, some of them thrown over the bridges into the Nile waters below. Mm. This cannot be dismissed away with, attributing it to some rogue elements within the military.
Yeah. Before this happened, negotiations had just broken down over the issue of transitioning to a civilian democracy. And the military has said, just, give us 9 months, we'll hold new elections, everything will be fine. But do you think that a fair election could be held under these circumstances?
This is not a realistic prospect because Sudan is a country torn by conflict. There are more than 2.5 million people in displaced camps in Darfur. There are 30 years of repression against political parties, which are now weakened and need to rebuild their capacity, organize their constituencies, and that's why the opposition has asked for and want to achieve a longer period of transition.
And what about the role of other regional players? Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates have been supporting the military financially. What's their interest in Sudan?
The government of President Omar al-Bashir, and mind you, those who are in the military council today are the top generals of Omar al-Bashir. So Bashir was removed, but the system stays intact and in place. That army, that rapid support forces of former militiamen, is now deployed in ground battlefields in the war in Yemen, alongside fighters of the United Arab Emirates and the fighters from Saudi Arabia. And that's why the Saudis and Emiratis are supporting the military council and emboldening it in its, rejecting the demand of the population for a transition to democracy and handing over to a civilian authority during that transition.
But the Saudis and the UAE are key allies of the United States, and those countries are backing the military rulers. So, that must put the United States in a kind of awkward position.
The U.S. is indeed in a very awkward position. At the beginning of this crisis and until very recently, actually until this week, the U.S. appeared to be delegating its policy on Sudan to its regional allies, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, until this massacre happened. And the U.S. all of a sudden realized that it cannot just stay in the backyard and expect that the Saudis and United Arab Emirates, who do not have an interest to see democracy flourishing in Sudan, lead the policy.
And the U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton is now saying that the military should expedite transferring power to a civilian government. But, you have been a part of nonviolent popular uprisings in Sudan in the past. Do you think there's any way out of this without more violence?
Well, this is the legacy of Omar al-Bashir. He created and left us a militia state. As long as there is no real leverage and pressure from the U.S., all the statements from John Bolton downward wouldn't change the positions of the military council because they don't see any consequences for being emboldened in giving a firm stand to the demand of transition to democracy. Hmm. And therefore, I would urge the U.S. administration to really tie their demands from the military council to real consequences, such as the sanctioning of those responsible for the massacre of the 3rd of June, and also companies of the military and of the rapid support forces that we know are involved in smuggling of gold and in other illicit economic activities in the region. This is the main reason why the economy of Sudan has collapsed, in fact.
That's Suleiman Baldo, a senior advisor at the Enough Project. It's a U.S.-based nonprofit working to end violence in Africa. Suleiman, thanks for your time.
Thank you for having me.